Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by the Sports Spectrum magazine. Have you gotten your subscription yet? I gotta tell you, Sports Spectrum's magazine might be the best thing that we do here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. And we've been going strong now for 38 years. This magazine has been a resource to help share the gospel of Jesus with those who love sports. If you're looking for a magazine and a resource for your kids, for your children, for your teenagers who love sports, I want to encourage you to get the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe today. Just go to sportspectrum.com, click the magazine icon at the top. And when you're there, we want to give you a little bit of a discount. This is for podcast listeners only. 15% off a Sports Spectrum quarterly magazine subscription. It's a one-year subscription. Use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you go subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Maybe get it for someone as a gift, but use that code podcast15 and you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. We keep it affordable, we do, but we're giving you an extra 15% here. We think it's the best thing that we do. It makes a great resource. Check out the Sports Spectrum magazine. Use that code podcast15 and save 15% off. You can get it today at sportsspectrum.com.
This is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith. Now here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum podcast, the intersection of sports and faith. How good is God that we get to do a show like this each and every time we release an episode? Jesus being glorified in the world of sports. It can happen, and that's what we want to be about here at Sports Spectrum. You can reach us directly via our website, sportsspectrum.com, each and every day. Go check it out for articles, podcasts, devotionals, you name it. Great resources there. You can also email me directly if you have some feedback on our guest, Hosanna Wong. Maybe you have some comments on today's show. Actually, here's a great idea. Send us who you think we should be talking to on this podcast. And if you have a connection, even better, you can reach me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Maybe you want to advertise with us on Sports Spectrum. Heck, maybe you want to have us come and be a part of your event to talk about Sports Spectrum. Again, you can reach me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Now, Hosanna Wong is the biggest Golden State Warriors fan out there, as far as I'm concerned. She's an international speaker, a best-selling author, a spoken word artist. Her and her husband serve in the church and teach in church, I think she said 40-plus times a year. And she's, like I said, a huge Golden State Warriors fan. She's got a new book out in August, August 8th. It's called You Are More Than You've Been Told: Unlock a Fresh Way to Live Through the Rhythms of Jesus. If that name, Hosanna Wong, sounds familiar, it's probably because you've seen her spoken word called I Have a New Name, which is powerful. And the story she shares in this podcast about I Have a New Name and how it's helping people is just phenomenal. So you got to stay tuned for that. We talk a lot about her fandom of the Golden State Warriors, specifically Stephen Curry, the GOAT, if you will, the greatest shooter of all time. This was a fantastic conversation, talking Jesus, talking Golden State Warriors, talking about filling gaps. That was what we determined Hosanna Wong's job is. She's a gap filler, and she's awesome. You're going to love hearing from Hosanna Wong, the author of the new book, You Are More Than You've Been Told. She joins us right now on Sports Spectrum. She might be the biggest Golden State Warriors fan that's ever been on Sports Spectrum, and she is Hosanna Wong. What's up, Hosanna? How are you?
What high praise. I own that title. I will say that. Yes, I'm wearing a Warriors shirt right now.
You are.
I got this Christmas morning. I said, family, I have a proposal. No gift Christmas. We all go to the Warriors.
You did go to the Warriors game on Christmas, didn't you?
We did. It was one of the greatest feats of my life. I had an individual speech for every family member of why I was proposing a no gift Christmas. It was wonderful.
Okay, so you got the shirt and you got the tickets, I presume. That was a gift or that was the
family
planning?
It was like, we're not getting gifts for each other.
Okay.
No gifts for each other. We're all adults. The youngest in the family is Elijah, my baby brother. He's 26.
Okay.
It's like, okay, let's just get ourselves Warriors tickets and we'll go together for an experience. So this was a t-shirt we got Christmas Day. It was, we got the lineup of all lineups on it.
Okay.
So anyways, it was wonderful Christmas.
Did they win?
Jesus was glorified.
Did they win on Christmas?
Yes, absolutely. The Warriors won. Jesus was glorified.
I love it.
It was wonderful.
That's awesome. All right, so let me preface this. This is running in July. Your book's coming out in August. But people should know a little behind the scenes. And this was a hard one as we were recording this because we're taping this in late spring, we'll just say. And the Warriors are in the midst of a playoff series right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let me preface it this way. We don't know if they're going to. We'd love to prophetically say, you know, when people hear this, that they are a back-to-back, you know, NBA champions. But we can't do that because we don't know. But what I do know is, what is it like on the morning of a game, or what is it like to even watch a game when the Warriors are playing with Hosanna Wong? What is that experience like? What am I expecting here if I'm watching the game with you?
My husband and I are planning our lives around these games. It's like how we like plan for Sabbath.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the month, we have to figure out what day of every week we're doing Sabbath because our schedules are always changing. It's a spiritual discipline of ours. Yeah. Same as when the Warriors are in the playoffs. It's like, all right, this is what time this game is. This is what time I'm working out. This is what time my meetings are. So we're going to leave work at this time. I'm grilling burgers. My husband will grill burgers. I got the avocado. Mm-hmm. It's an entire experience. Nothing is not thought of. It's planned. Yep. Make space for God to be glorified.
I love that. So what am I experiencing when I'm watching the game with you? Are you kind of a quiet, you know, introverted fan in the sense of, you know, I mean, for me, for example, I'm a Celtics fan. We talked about this before we started recording.
Yeah, we already had a moment of forgiveness.
We had to work through that. Yes. So last year, Celtics Warriors, it was great for the first three games. And then the Warriors and Steph just went on that tear and they got a championship. But for me, when I'm watching it, I'm really nervous. Like, I don't want to watch it with a ton of people. I don't want people texting me during the game. I might even turn my phone off. I just want to watch the game and experience the highs or the lows kind of by myself or with like my wife, right? But not a lot of people. How is it with you when you're watching the Warriors?
It's similar to that. We have to be watching with basketball fans. So it's typically me and my husband.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that we're quiet, but I would say like we're both focused on the game and maybe we'll be on our phones during halftime.
Okay.
You know, catching up on Twitter, see what people are saying. All of our friends are blowing up our phones because, you know, we have competing friends and fans all over, you know, the country. So we are pretty focused. And it's typically me and him or another couple that's also invested in the game.
Yes.
It's like, you guys, hi, we're watching the game. We also have we do like a big Super Bowl party at our house.
Love it.
Every year. People fly in. We do it really big. No matter what team is playing, like we have this big party. But the rule is we are watching the game.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a good rule.
Yeah. So that's kind of the same thing with Warriors. It's like, oh, we can just watch the Warriors game with you. Then we can catch up. It's like, no.
Okay.
We can catch up after the Warriors game, baby.
Exactly.
It's pretty intense. Yeah.
No,
we
I
love
like
it though.
I love fans love like it. That, especially since we'll just say June 25th, 2009. I don't know if you know what that date is, by the way. I hope you do. But that is the day that the Minnesota Timberwolves selected Johnny Flynn, 6th overall, and the Golden State Warriors had the 7th pick and took this kid named Stephen Curry from Davidson. I need to know this. Is that the day you became a fan, or could I have talked to you, I don't know, pre-June 25th, 2009, and know that you were a Warriors fan then?
I am born and raised Warriors fan.
Okay.
From San Francisco. I grew up a Warriors fan and I never imagined we would ever be good or have an era like this. Like, it is amazing. So no, I grew up in San Francisco, just down the street from Candlestick Park. That's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But the Niners and the Giants played there when I was growing up. And then the Warriors at the time were in Oakland, but my family and I were diehard Warriors fans, and we were Giants and Niners fans. We live so close to the stadium. So no, born and raised from the city. I did not know that was Steph Curry's big date. I did not know that date, but I've been a fan my whole life, and now I am so excited to have such a great run for real.
Well,
and
right.
Steph, my pastor, like that's my pastor right there.
Yes.
He's a man of God making it happen.
Well, have you ever met him, by the way? Did you ever get to meet him?
No, not yet. In the name of Jesus, Steph, if you're listening, I love you. Ayesha Curry can cook. In the name of Jesus, we love you guys.
That is amazing. Well, I wouldn't doubt that you get to meet him at some point because he is a believer, yeah. And some of his circles intersect with probably people who've overlapped with your circles as well. What's your favorite Warriors moment? Because there's been so many. I mean, I got to see the bad moment, the one kind of, you know, chink in the armor, if you will, from 2016 when they were up 3-1 and didn't close it out. But 2015, 2017, 2018, like there's been so many, even last year. What's your favorite moment that you've watched maybe in the Steph Curry era as a fan?
Yeah, I hate to just go on recency bias, okay. But this last series, I didn't even think we could. I wasn't sure if we could come back. I wasn't sure if Clay was going to be able to fully come back after his injury. Yeah. We had not yet seen Wiggins on that kind of stage. So we had no idea the amount of focus that was available to us during that. I was in the recording studio a couple weeks ago and my husband said to me, he was like, all right, we only have this studio for a couple hours. We need Wiggins focus right now. And I was like Wiggins focus. Let's go. I am here. I'm prepared. We had no idea how working with Steph was going to up his game so much to prepare him for that level of a stage.
Yeah.
And Steph he had all these rings, but he hadn't gotten the accolade that we knew was due to him. And so watching this series where I was OE of little faith, I could not believe we got there. I did not know that we could get back to the place that we had such a great run in.
Yeah.
And seeing Steph get his accolade and seeing his dad, and when he saw his dad and him, his dad hugged because Steph knew what this moment meant for his career and his dad knew, I was in tears. Yes. I really was. I was like, I'm getting saved all over again. This is so beautiful. It was emotional. He falls to the floor. His dad is there. And a lot of, I think even the most diehard Warrior fans were like, oh my gosh, we are doing this. Yeah. You know, we have championship DNA and we still do. Yes. It was wonderful. So I know it's recent, but it was like, it got me. That moment got me good.
No, I think that's a really good one because, you know, the first is always kind of like, whoa, we're going to do this. And when you have a young Draymond and Clay and Steph, and you're like, are we supposed to be here yet? You know, is this really the time in 2015 when you guys won your first championship? But last year it was kind of like, wait, it's been a few years. Didn't you guys win like 11 games or something during that year after COVID? Like, so you go from like the worst of seasons.
It wasn't great.
2 years later, you have, like you described, you know, you have this amazing moment and you see Steph. I mean, it was Game 4 really, which changed that series against my Celtics. You know, I'll tell you a quick story, Hosanna, you'll like this. So I've been a Celtics fan since like 1981. Like, I'm old, I'm gonna be 50 this year. And Larry Bird was my hero. And I got an opportunity and paid the money to go to Game 4 to see Warriors Celtics last year at the Garden in Boston. Now, what happened was I didn't get to go to the game because my daughter, who was finishing up her high school softball career, we weren't expecting this, made it to the state championship game in softball, which happened to be on that Friday night when the Celtics were to play the Warriors.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like torn. Like, I'm not torn, but I'm like, I paid a lot of money for these tickets. And my daughter's like, Dad, you got to go to the game. It's your Celtics. You got to go. It's the NBA Finals. And I said, Sarah, I only get one chance here, like, to watch you. This is going to be your last softball game maybe ever. By the way, Sarah, my daughter, her team lost pretty badly. But she got the one hit in the game. It was like the one RBI. It was her moment. So I went to the game. My buddy who was going to go with me took his son. And I got to miss. There's a blessing here. See? I got to miss Steph Curry's like NBA Finals moment in the Garden. And I watched it on television. And I was like so in awe about Steph. But so kind of glad that I wasn't there in person.
Oh my gosh. You are such a nice dad.
Like, well, I mean,
such a nice story.
I hope anybody who's a dad would do the same thing I did, you know, in the sense of like, it's your kid and, you know, it was her last ever softball game. Like, how could I miss that? But at the same time, I love that she was like even thinking, Dad, why would you come watch this game where we're going to probably lose when you can go watch your Celtics? And then afterwards,
go watch your Celtics lose. Why would you watch us lose? You can watch
I watched two teams lose that day, Hosanna. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh.
But it was a good day.
That is so kind.
Yeah, it was a good day. Now, have you been able to go to any of those playoff games or finals? Have you ever been to any of those?
Not yet. It's on our bucket list. My husband and I, we do like Mount Rushmores. Have you heard that from The Ringer and stuff? So we do these, we do Mount Rushmores all the time, and we have a Warriors playoff.
Okay. Do you have, share what this Mount Rushmore of sports experiences would be?
All right. Yeah. So it's like our bucket list of sports experiences.
Okay, I like
so,
this.
Yeah. So I'm Bay Area teams all day, but born and raised in like a basketball family. So Warriors over everything. My husband's from Michigan. So he came with some Michigan teams.
Yes.
More than anything, Michigan football. That was his big thing. And I, you know, in the Bay Area, college football wasn't nearly as big as it is in the Midwest. So when we started dating, he was like, here's the situation. And he was, and he's a really big Lions fan. So his like biggest loyalties were football, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then my biggest was Warriors. And I was like, yeah, just so you know, like you're a Warriors fan now. Like this is,
that's good.
This is now a part of it. And he was like, yeah, and you're a Michigan fan. This is now your team in law. Like this is a part of us.
Yeah, it's like a partnership. That's what marriage is, right?
This is marriage. And it worked out because both teams are gold and blue. So throughout our house, we have gold and blue accents just kind of all around. So it works out thematically. But we just have a Mount Rushmore of like things, events we would like to do. And so one would be for him would be Michigan and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. To go to that game.
In the big house, I presume. Not in Columbus. Yeah.
Right. We have to go to Michigan. We have to go to Michigan. One year I was like, oh, we can do this one. But it was in Ohio and there was just no world.
Yeah.
So that's on it. A Warriors playoff game is on it. We have the Warriors like playing certain people. You know, he has Lions playing certain people. So I don't remember his fully, but big ones were that. Mm-hmm. That would be huge for us. Michigan and Ohio State. And, you know, recently we've seen glimmers of hope in recent years that game might go well. And then Warriors playoffs, things in the finals. It's on the Rushmore. Pray for us.
I feel like if Michigan got to the Rose Bowl again, that would be a cool experience for you and your husband. What's your husband's name?
Guy.
I feel like you and Guy.
Guy.
Yeah, you and Guy should do that if that happens again. Because they could. Yes. Michigan could easily play in the Rose Bowl. And how far is Pasadena from where you live in San Diego? Not too far, right?
No, just a couple hours. And you know what? Like, it's so, I hate to say how serious this is for us because it's kind of silly, but I will tell you through the pandemic and we're both, you know, leaders in the church and we both, you know, have given our lives to helping and serving people. And at times we have just been so drained and not put our marriage as the priority that it should be.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, we had like pandemic resolutions, which were, hey, if we ever get out of this house, if we ever, like, what are things I haven't done? I was like, we haven't seen our favorite teams play live. Like, what were we doing? And it was like very, and once things started opening up, we have gone to more games, I will say, in the past year, even things that we don't care anything about. Like, I'll be honest. I know we've got some Nashville listeners here, but their soccer team, I knew nothing about.
Right.
But we have all these friends in Nashville. Like, we're going to the soccer game and we're going to get us tickets. We just want to, like, live sporting events are just a way that we really, I don't know, connect and bond. And it's always a good time.
I couldn't agree more, especially when the pandemic shut everything down and just being at a sporting event for that first time after the pandemic. You're like, man, I didn't appreciate this when I was at a sporting event before that. And now I think you really appreciated just the fact that we could all come together and either boo or cheer, whatever that looks like with that, whatever team we're rooting for, but just to be together and watch sports. That wouldn't have happened to Ben Carlos Whitaker, would it? That was the big soccer fan, because he was on our show. I don't know if you know Carlos, but he was on our show.
I do know Carlos.
A couple months ago, and talking about how he's become this brand new soccer fan living, you know, in Nashville and going to see the Nashville team. And I guess I have to go to a Nashville soccer game experience now too.
Apparently. I know, we're getting all the recommendations. No, I have friends that are pastors at Church of the City.
Yeah, sure.
Matt Veretta and a handful of other friends, and they are just big soccer fans. And so we just go to enjoy with them.
But we
root like it's our team for sure.
I love it. She is Hosanna Wong, and she's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. So you're an author, a spoken word artist, a speaker. But if someone was to ask you, like, what is your job, Hosanna? What do you do? What would you tell them? Because I had a hard time even. I love your spoken word videos, and I think they're fantastic. But spoken word artist, I mean, like, that is a job, obviously. But what would you tell them in terms of how you have lived this life and what you're doing right now for a career?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, my husband has started to resign to tell people, oh, she's Hosanna full time, when people try to ask or explain. But I think at the core of it, I would say that I fill gaps. I think growing up, I felt a sense of calling. I don't think I could articulate it at the time, that maybe a spidey sense. I don't know if there's any crossovers of sports fans and Marvel fans on this, but that would be the other love of my life. Would it be?
I'm one of them. In fact, I just saw yesterday or 2 days ago, Guardians of the Galaxy.
We did too.
I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was really good. A good ending. I thought it was fantastic. I won't spoil it because who knows?
Okay, we won't spoil it, but I did like it. They did well thematically. Circling up that trilogy.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we love that too. So I think I've had this heightened awareness of gaps and where someone might need to fill them. And I can see that throughout my life, the ways I've thought someone should do that, or I see that there needs to be a bridge there. And I do that. Mm. So I think at the end of the day, I fill gaps. I try to help the local church change the world. Mm. And I really am on mission to be bilingual in the sense of how God calls us his ambassadors, and ambassadors, you know, by trade, by profession, are bilingual. They have to know the language of the kingdom they're coming from really well.
Right.
And then they have to know the language of the land they're going to really well. So an important message is accurately and clearly conveyed. And to try to bring the gospel where people really are, to tell people where they really are, how loved they are and how seen they are, to not water down truths, but to speak them in a way people understand, to meet people where they are. I think those are the, I hadn't really thought of it the way you asked it, but I know I feel like I fill gaps. And when I feel gaps are filled, I kind of move on to maybe a different role.
Okay.
So I can say that that's a strong sense I feel in all the roles. I could tell you how that came about was a sense of someone should do this, or there's a group of people I feel aren't being reached really well. And I feel a sense, a call to help the local church change the world. I do spoken word poetry and I teach in churches, 42 weekends out of 52 weekends all over the country, a little bit internationally. And it really is to partner with local churches with what those senior pastors and what those teams are feel called to do for their communities, and a partner with them in a unique way. And then just to keep being bilingual. Can we know the word of God really well to know what God is saying? Because God has real answers to people's real questions.
Yes.
And can we know people's questions really well? Can we know what people are actually asking, where people are? Can we speak their language? So my big thing is trying to help everyday people know Jesus for real. And that looks like filling a lot of gaps, serving the local church, and trying to know both languages really well.
So call yourself a gap filler. I think we need t-shirts that say gap filler on it.
There you go.
I like that.
Warriors number one fan.
Warriors number one fan. Gap filler. Hosanna Wong is with us on Sports Spectrum. So when did Jesus, because you're helping people have a real relationship with Christ and see him for who he really is. When did that happen for you? How did that take shape for you?
Yeah. So I grew up in San Francisco. My dad was a heroin addict who fought in a gang. He had bullet holes alongside his calves from running from the police from the last time he robbed someplace. And someone introduced him to Jesus, and Jesus changed his whole life. And my dad ended up starting an outreach to those living without homes and battling with addiction on the streets of San Francisco. And so that's how I grew up. We had outdoor church services 2 to 3 days a week, the first 18 years of my life. And people brought their alcohol bottles and their needles. And honestly, that's how I learned church. Like later when I grew up and other people said they were also raised in church, I had to realize that we weren't talking about the exact same thing. But that's where I learned that Jesus could save anyone's soul and redeem anyone's story. And actually, that is how we also became diehard sports fans, because the stadiums, we had a deal with the stadiums where they would give us their leftovers after games. So we would get boxes and boxes of Candlestick Park, ballpark hot dogs, burgers, pizza. So after every game, we'd pick it up, and we had a, you know, a food pantry where we stored it, reheated it, and gave it to people. So all of our friends on the streets would know it's game day. Tomorrow we get hot dogs. So anyways, it's a big part of our lives. We appreciate the San Francisco team so much.
Yeah.
But that is, I knew of Jesus because of how I saw my dad's life change and his testimony. So I kind of maybe was raised knowing it very early on. And then as regards to learning to fill gaps and just kind of seeing how God can maybe use my life to serve him and make much of him. My dad got cancer and he passed away when I was 18. And there was this moment, I wonder if some listeners might resonate, but you see some people with obvious callings, like very clearly this guy was an addict and he knows Jesus and he's a preacher. And I don't have a testimony like that. And I'm a little ordinary. And what can I do? But I knew spoken word poetry growing up. All my friends on the streets did it. Everyone did some kind of oral storytelling, hip hop, freestyling. All my friends on the street spoke spoken word. So it was, I think that might've been one of the first moments, you know, gap filling on the streets. We need someone to fold the chairs, pack the sandwiches, give out the clothes, whatever. And then also when my dad passed and I'm trying to figure out how I also can share the hope of Jesus that I believe in, but don't know how, the first thing I looked at is what I already could do that already, something I already had in common with my friends. Yeah. And so everyone did spoken word poetry. So I did spoken word poetry about Jesus in the underground slam poetry scene on the streets of San Francisco. I eventually ended up doing it in college and I've done it full time for over a decade. But still just do spoken word poetry with my friends, something that we have in common, a way to share Jesus in a language other people understand, maybe more friends now. But that is still something that I saw, that these short stories, short form stories, you know, I mean, I could say that Jesus was the original spoken word artist, these short stories, there is something in them and learning how to do that well. And then I got my degree in creative writing and a minor in theology to try to make these short stories, not just quick and cool, but deep in theology and in truth and timeless and helping people know who they are. And so that is sort of something I can really give credit just from where I'm from. I used to think that where I'm from or what I was able to do was so less than, but I just realized that God wants to use your actual life and your actual experiences, what you're good at, what you like, to have commonality with the people right next to you and use that as a catalyst, a pathway to talk about the hope of Jesus. And at my best, that's what I try to keep doing.
I love that. Yeah. I've watched so many of your spoken word videos on YouTube and they're just fantastic. And I thought you would have, hopefully you have, one story that you can think of where that spoken word that you put together that God, you know, kind of bred inside of you or birthed inside of you, if you will, you saw someone else have that experience that your dad had, you know, or someone else have that experience that maybe you had or I had when I came to Christ when I was 27. Is there a moment that you can share that you think of when somebody just said, hey, you know what? I heard you speak to share this spoken word, and I want to hear more about this Jesus you're talking about.
Yes, I do have that story. So I wrote this spoken word piece called I Have a New Name about 7 years ago. It's a spoken word that really declares scripture about what God says about us. And it came out of one of the hardest seasons of my life, the hardest season of our marriage. We had so much loss. And it was one of those seasons where I felt so disconnected from myself and from God. I really thought I was going to give up. And because of that, I stopped doing spoken word poetry after that season. I wrote the spoken word piece, I Have a New Name. I've done it all over the world, but and God has used it. But personally, it was a very painful spoken word to do. And it was painful to go back to spoken word. So the past six, seven years, I've traveled still, but have mostly been speaking, not really doing spoken word. About 2 years ago, I felt like God called me to go back into the studio and do spoken word poetry again. I had asked God, my prayer was, I'm sorry, this is becoming a long story, very medium length.
It's okay.
It's not as short as I had dreamed.
Hosanna, we're a podcast.
But I'll make this quick. It's not spoken word style, but it's a little bit medium length.
Yeah.
But I said no. When I felt God call me to go back into it, I didn't want to have to relive I didn't want to go back to painful places that I had just ignored. I didn't want to have to forgive people. I didn't want to have to forgive myself.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to mentally go back to places I'd resigned could never be healed. And I felt like God was really stretching my heart and my life as I felt like he was calling me to go back into the studio to record spoken word poetry. A prayer I had asked God was, make me very aware of the position of my life. What is something you're calling me to do now that I can't do in 20 years? How do I reach this generation now? And I really felt a call to go back into spoken word poetry, short form stories online to tell the world who they are. And I said, no, God really transformed my life and my marriage and me and my husband's rhythms. And a lot of healing took place. And while this healing was taking place within me, as I was still praying about going back into do spoken word, I was in New Mexico And after I spoke, I was meeting a bunch of people who had come to this event in New Mexico. And I had still said no to what I felt God was calling me to do because I had all this pride and entitlement.
Yeah.
And this woman came up to me and she said, I have to tell you about your spoken word piece. I have a new name. I was, you know, she had a background very similar to my dad's and a lot of my friends on the streets. She said, I've been an addict for this amount of years, disconnected from my family for this amount of years. I was living in my car and I was debating if my life was even worth living. And I went onto Facebook on my phone in my car to write a goodbye post. And someone I followed had posted a video of I Have a New Name.
Wow.
And I watched it. And I changed my mind. And I gave my life to Jesus in that car. And the next day I drove to a rehab center. And I put myself in. And I went through rehab. And I got clean. And now I'm a leader at this woman's home. Here's all my women. And she looks behind her. And there might be 15 women
wow.
who are with her. And she said, I want you to know that I Have a New Name is not just yours. It's ours. This is my new name. And she tells me her new name. And all the women come up and they start telling me their new names. And I will say that that is a very memorable moment for me because I was so convicted that I had made this all about me. Mm. And if I wanted to share this spoken word piece, and if you hear it, it really is 80% the word of God. Like it really is just me declaring scripture, like how much pride and entitlement I had to hoard something that God gave me, was asking me to use, but yeah. Because of the painful season that was wrapped up in it for me, I was holding it back. And what God really showed me, and I felt very convicted as she said, it's not yours, it's ours, was that God would use other people to share this piece. It wasn't in my hands anyway. And he was inviting me to get to be a part of it. And I needed to let go as if this was mine. And it was after that story where I said, God, I repent. Like, I'm so sorry for the ways I have not let you heal the things you want to heal. And it looked like me confessing to my pastors and mentors, starting to go to double therapy with my Christian therapist, confessing some stuff to my husband, and having the full healing I needed to have to bring it back out into the world. And I've heard that now more and more these past couple of years, people say, this is not yours, this is ours. My daughter memorized it. She quotes it before she goes to school and it helps her when she feels like nervous about, you know, social environments. Oh, my son memorized it. He says it before his games. It reminds him that he's there to be a light, not just a player. And I re-recorded and re-released I Have a New Name recently.
Yes.
And it went viral on TikTok and on Instagram, all the places where young people are. And that was my prayer. God, would you help young people? We made music around it so that it would be memorizable, easy to palatable. And this one, not only did my video go viral, but this sweet boy in South Africa memorized it. And he's quoting it, and that video went viral as well. And I just realized, you know, I believe that God wants everyone to know who they are and how loved they are. And so I wanted to make truth easy to hear and memorize for young people. And I see now how God has breathed on it and how it really is out of my hands and it's his, it's not mine.
Wow.
And I've been blessed. Yeah. I've been blessed to see, you know, we don't always, we're obedient all the time with things that no one sees and no one knows about, but I got a glimpse of it this past year of what surrendering to God can do in me and also in others. So that's been really humbling and a blessing to see this year.
What a story. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
That woman in New Mexico, man, she convicted me. She pastored me. Yes. I was like, oh man, I repent. I'm so sorry.
It's not yours. It's ours. That's just a great reminder of the gospel, right? Yeah. Like it's personal, but it's also all of ours at the same time. That I Have a New Name is available on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's available everywhere. Another kind of word phrase that I want people to remember is you are more than you've been told, which as we record this, that book is going to be coming out this summer in August. Unlock a fresh way to live through the rhythms of Jesus. Real quick, before we say goodbye, tell us about this book and the importance of it and why you wanted to write this one.
Yes. Well, now that I've done I Have a New Name all over the world for the past 7 years, it's this beautiful moment where all these people declare who they are in Christ. They know who they are. But one of the most frequent questions I get asked after I perform this piece is how, not just who am I, but how, do I know who I am every single day? How do I remember who I am when I go back home and my family situation's hard, when storms come, when I'm lost my job, when people's opinions are loud? How do I keep knowing who I am and live as who I really am? I just felt like so many people these past few years have felt so disconnected from God, disconnected from ourselves. And we want a fresh breath and a fresh way to live. We want to reconnect. And so I wrote the book on how to know who you are and live like it, the tools that have actually transformed my life the past 7 years, and specifically the past 2 years, as I've decided to reclaim some of the things I've been stolen in my life. And so many of us have heard so many lies about who we are. And yes, we've heard lies on the internet from our coworkers last week. We've heard mean things from mean people, but I think a lot of us have lies from our childhoods, something our mom said, or something our dad didn't say, or something a teacher said, or someone who should have stayed but didn't, or someone who should have defended us but didn't. We have heard lies about ourselves, and that has trapped us in the wrong patterns of living. And so what I want to tell people is not just that you have a new name, but that this is who you've been all along. The truth is that you've always been loved and wanted and chosen by God, but we're going to have to reframe some of the narratives we've believed so we can live the lives we've been meant to. So you are more than you've been told is really a roadmap to living lighter and a roadmap to reconnecting with God and with ourselves. How can we know who we are and actually live like it, know the direction that God has for our lives every single day? And so I'm really proud of it because I think I have always been a, you know, hands raised, hopes high kind of person. But I think in the recent years, I've become more of a hands-on kind of person. And I really need practical tools. Mm-hmm. I need someone to show me how to live and for it to be very tangible and relatable. We talked about earlier about being bilingual. Yeah. I really want it to be in a language people could understand. So God's truths are accessible, and it's transformed my life and my marriage and helped me be able to share God's truths with a new authority and a new hope and a new joy. And so you are more than you've been told is really the how, the toolbox, the roadmap to reconnecting with yourself and God and living lighter. And I'm so excited for people to get the tools in their hands.
Yeah.
I'm patient X for it. It transformed my life. So I'm very excited about it. We're calling it the Red Book. It's red, it's bold. And I think it might help some people in your lives that might need to know how to reconnect with themselves and with God.
Well, you talked about reaching this specific group of people, but you didn't mm-hmm. say who those group of people are. I'm assuming this book has a part of not just when you had, I have a new name, but this book has a part of reaching this unreached group of people that you feel is so important to reach.
Yeah, I really feel like my people are, and who I write to, are the church adjacent. I call them the church adjacent. I'm sure there's a better term, but I feel like I'm part of this group. Those who maybe are down for Jesus, but not down for Jesus people, maybe are down for God, but have been hurt in God-following environments, hurt by the church, unsure who's real, who's fake, unsure if we can fit in or do we want to fit in. And there's those of us who want to reconnect with God, but who he really is, not the poor ways we've seen him portrayed. And I feel that that is my group of people, this group of people that exists all over the country and all over the world in many age groups that say, I'm down for God, but is any of this real? And are his people real? And if it's real, then show me how. And I'm very sensitive to that. I've been deeply wounded by the church. I hated the church. It took me years to realize the beauty of the gospel of Jesus and how I can be a part of creating the community I long for, that I can be a part of helping us be the change we hope the church has. And so I write specifically to a group of people who might just want Jesus to be real and tangible in their everyday lives. But we're not just cynics, we're wounded. We have good reason to want to know what's real and what's fake. So I hope to reach many, but I do feel a very strong focus to a church adjacent, Jesus searching for real crowd. And it tends to lean younger. It tends to be those who maybe were disillusioned by their parents or an environment where they were hurt, the 20 to 30 crowd. But I can't dismiss that my 30 to 50 crowd is a lot of the women that I meet on the road, or people who say, I've known Jesus my whole life, but I need this to be real and fresh for me. So I'm trying to narrow down an age, but I do feel that the church adjacent, they're my people, they're me. And I believe we can know Jesus for real and represent him better than maybe we've seen him represented.
Well, that helps you be the ambassador that you talked about. It helps you really live out the Great Commission, right? To go and make disciples. It starts with just meeting people where they're at. The church adjacent is, I think, a great way to meet people where they're at, because those people have been wounded and hurt and maybe have different perceptions on God through people who didn't perceive Jesus in the right way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So love what you're doing, Hosanna. Again, the new book is called You Are More Than You've Been Told. You can hear the spoken word. I Have a New Name. Great stuff here. And who knows, prophetically, maybe the Golden State Warriors will be back-to-back NBA champs. I don't know. I don't know. We're speaking in the middle of playoffs here, right, Hosanna?
Yep. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have favor on your people.
The next time we have you on, I want to have a conversation with you, because this could take a whole nother hour, about Christians who love sports and the sports fandom that we have. Because you're a real sports fan, and I like that. You're diehard. Yeah. And I am too. I like to consider myself a diehard. And I know Steve Carter, our mutual friend who helped really introduce me to you. He's a diehard. Yeah. Like that, don't get around that dude when Michigan's playing, obviously.
Absolutely. Him and my husband bond over that.
Do not doubt that. But what is this like to be a follower of Christ and also be a giant sports fan? So maybe that's the next conversation, Hosanna. How's that?
I love that. All right. Deal. I'm all in.
Well, you're
I love
awesome.
That. And hey, sneak peek. It's a great way to find commonality with people in the real world.
Yes, exactly. Sneak that's peek, why we do what we do. That's why we yeah, be by.
Yeah, that's
that.
Why. That's why. Yeah, being a Warriors fan is all about evangelistic efforts.
That's right. It's an evangelistic experience when you're a Warriors fan, a sports fan.
No, I love it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, so Hosanna. Cool. You're awesome. Thanks for joining us on the show. All the best to you.
Appreciate it. Go Warriors.
And many thanks to the gap filler herself, diehard Golden State Warriors fan, Hosanna Wong, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Again, the new book, You Are More Than You've Been Told, is available August 8th. You can pre-order right now at Amazon or wherever books are found, and make sure you get your copy. Unlocking a Fresh Way to Live Through the Rhythms of Jesus, Golden State Warriors diehard fanatic, Hosanna Wong. We appreciate her for joining us on Sports Spectrum, and we appreciate you as well for tuning in. So what are some next steps, right, as you listen to this podcast? We always direct people to our website, sportsspectrum.com, where there's tons of resources. It's all free. There's articles, there's devotionals Monday through Friday on our website. There's also all of our podcasts and part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. So go check it out at sportsspectrum.com. And then whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, if you could click that subscribe or that follow button, that will help us, you know, really help you never miss an episode, and also help us get the word out as you subscribe to the show. And then please do tell someone about Sports Spectrum. There's still a lot of people out there who love sports and love Jesus and have no idea that we exist. And so I think all we're trying to do is get to more people so that we can point those people ultimately to Jesus. I know that's Hosanna Wong's desire, right? She wants to reach more people to ultimately point them to Jesus. We want to do the same thing. We're just doing it a little differently. And we use sports as a way to share the gospel. So check out sportsspectrum.com, subscribe to the podcast, tell someone about Sports Spectrum, and then please do join us next time for another episode right here on the show. My name is Jason. I love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.